Welcome to this week's edition of World Crisis Radio. It's the afternoon of Friday, February 5th, 2016. Webster Tarpley coming at you from Washington, D.C. We are at the densest political week of the four-year U.S. political cycle. It is that special time between the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary when political epiphanies come just about every day. So we've got a tremendous amount of stuff to cover today. And we want to, in particular, we want to reach out to people who are supporting Bernie Sanders. We sympathize deeply with you people. We think that in many ways you are the salt of the earth. You are the critical factor here in the U.S. political situation. And we would like to urge Bernie Sanders' supporters, his backers, his base, his volunteers, his future voters, you've got to do an organized effort to force Bernie to fight. Because we've seen he's not capable of going to the attack. He's not even capable of going to a sustained counterattack. He'll do a couple of minutes of counterattack, but then he will flub back into his usual passive posture. And that is just not good enough, as we saw very dramatically last night. So much so that the media are now talking about it. And we'll get to that in just a second. Let's go, however, back to Iowa. And I think we're in a better situation than we were last week concerning the threat of domestic fascism. And that, of course, is the Trump candidacy. Anybody who wants to deport 12 million people is talking a police state. Anybody who wants to somehow block and interrogate people to see if they're Muslims, well, that could be you too. You're going to be held and interrogated, right? Maybe you have a mustache and some lunkhead decides that you're a threat. So the 12 million deported and the Muslims blocked. And then the registry, right? And what's the penalty if you don't register? This is all horrible. And remember, the registry in the case of the Japanese in 1941-42 was the prelude to being put in a concentration camp. Not so much by Franklin D. Roosevelt. No, no, no. John J. McCloy. John J. McCloy, who had made his reputation with saboteurs, German saboteurs against munitions plants in the New York City area, including the infamous Black Tom plant that blew up and shook the entire five boroughs, according to accounts. So John J. McCloy, one of the two imps of Satan who worked for Henry Stimson, Colonel Stimson, and his co-imp was the infamous Robert Lovett, who appointed the Kennedy cabinet, the McNamara's, the Rusks, and so forth. It was such a catastrophe and got us into the Vietnam War as soon as Kennedy could no longer supervise them because he was deceased. So fascism means Trump. Fascism was defeated. The American people, to their credit, have shown again that we are the anti-fascist nation par excellence. We never appeased Hitler, and we never allied with Hitler, and just about nobody else can say that. So that's something to be proud of and something to keep going. As it is, the fascist Trump has been defeated by a four-point margin by, unfortunately, that other fascist. That would be the clerical fascist Ted Cruz. Trump is therefore wounded. His narrative of the triumph of the will, his fascist myth of invincibility and invulnerability, his megalomania, his narcissism, his sense of inevitability, the tremendous momentum he had gotten with all that free television from the corrupt corporate media, including MSNBC, that is now significantly dissipated. He, however, as a wounded fascist, he remains an extremely dangerous force. So the idea would be put him away fast. And of course, it's not going to be easy inside the wretched Republican Party. But of course, there are decent Republicans. Maybe some of them are in New England. Why not? And that could be people voting against Trump. So if you're in New Hampshire, I make an appeal to you. I've been in your state a couple of times, done the primary in 80, 88. I would urge you, time to finish off Trump by voting for anybody you want, anybody, just not Trump. Defeat him. And now the second, of course, came Cruz. We had warned the world here in our daily briefing and on this program that there was something called Strategic Communications Limited of London, and that those guys were tricksters, and they were tricksters in a way that was not so clean, let's say, not squeaky clean at all. And what did we see? Poor, bewildered, unstable Ben Carson somehow said he was going to go and get his clean clothes in Florida. Cruz immediately turned that into that Carson is dropping out. And then we had Trump, of course, coming out to say that this is vote fraud and the whole thing should be thrown out, disallowed, or redone. And I guess Carson has eventually come around to that, too. So on the Republican side, nobody hesitates to say vote fraud, right? Voter fraud, I guess is what they say. But vote fraud, Republicans are not shy about that. But, of course, our hero Bernie Sanders wouldn't do that in a million years. He just won't fight. And it's going to be one of our big problems in the coming week. And we have an approach. Let me just say, first of all, I want the Bernie Sanders supporters, please stay on. All right? Don't turn away from the broadcast. If you're for Bernie Sanders, we regard you as a critical positive factor in world history. We want to help you to become more effective. And the long and the short of it is you Bernie Sanders supporters who have sacrificed, you have given him money, you've volunteered your time, you've gone through the snow, you've rung doorbells, you've done all the things, stuffed envelopes, all these things, social media, right? You've been blogging for Bernie. You have a right to have a say in the way the Bernie campaign unfolds. You don't have to sit there and let these corrupt beltway hacks that Bernie has brought in, and we're going to go through the problem of Tad Devine here in just a minute. You don't have to take that. What you've got to do, Bernie people, you need to organize a rally. By the time you hear this, it's going to be Saturday, February 6th. Bernie supporters, get together in Manchester, right? Take a few minutes, right? Go into one of those public squares, as I recall it, and put some signs up saying, Bernie, time to fight. Bernie, take the gloves off. Bernie, stop giving her a free ride. Bernie, we're with you. Bernie, you know, you can't expect to lead a political revolution with no polemics. A revolution is not run on civility and the Marcus of Queensbury rules. This is ridiculous. So stay with us because we want to help you to solve problems that you see. In other words, we want Bernie to start winning some of these primaries, which he's incapable of doing. Quite frankly, he's doing everything he can to lose. And he's doing that with your sacrifices, right? That's what's immoral about it. If I go to people and say, make sacrifices in terms of money, time, work, health, commitments, then my responsibility is to shoot the works for victory. Shoot the works and not be so worried about these fussy independents and how they don't like dirty campaigning. Well, that's too bad. We're in the fallen world, right? This is post-lapsarian is the situation we have here. So Trump wounded, defeated. Good job, Iowa. That was probably the most important single thing. Cruz, obviously using the dirty tricks, which SCL is well known. So that's going to be an issue on their side. He's, however, much weaker in New Hampshire. Back in a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. And you want to follow everything at Tarpley.net, Tarpley.net, Webster G. Tarpley Twitter feed, and similarly on Facebook. Tarpley.net, the gateway to all of it. And time to buy some books, in particular, Just Too Weird, Bishop Romney and the Mormon Take Over the United States, because this proceeds apace. So Trump, significantly wounded, cut down to size, cruise victorious, but headed into a very inhospitable climate where his Elmer Gantry stuff, the clerical fascism, the holy roller, fire and brimstone, and they had enough of that with Jonathan Edwards in the Connecticut River Valley some time ago. So now, the Democratic side. All right, Bernie Sanders has a problem. He has a grave character flaw for what he's proposing to do. You want to be the Tribune of the People in a political revolution, you got to fight. And again, you cannot pretend that this is some kind of a thé dansant, right? It's not for the faint of heart, right? Especially politics as played by the Clintons is brutal. It is essentially no holds barred. So you got to be willing to compete at this level. Now, as everybody remembers, the difference was 0.2% or 4 delegates. And this gave Hillary the ability to crow that she had finally won the Iowa caucus, which had eluded her before. First point, that margin would have been bigger if Bernie had shown some courage and some guts and had begun to attack the dirty Clinton machine in the weeks and months leading up. Even on the night of, there was this chance. It was quite obvious. Between about 10:30 and 10:45, Bernie needed to come out there and claim victory. Bernie needed to do what Rubio did. Rubio came out and said, without saying it, you know, I'm the winner, the comeback kid, whatever he was. Bernie could say, this is our victory. We've overcome a deficit of 40 or 50 points, and we're confident that by the end of the night, we're going to be the winners. He needed to do that before 11 o'clock because that's when the news, the local news, sports, weather, and all that come on the East Coast channels. So he needed to get out there before 11 o'clock. He needed to beat Rubio to the punch. Mrs. Clinton came out. She just about claimed victory, claimed later on. There's a monstrosity. In other words, strategically, Bernie is a coward. And tactically, Bernie is a coward. We have to face this fact. This is the only vehicle we have, and he is a coward. When I listen to him, I get the impression that he thinks that all he could ever do would be to force the Democratic Party a few degrees to the left, force them to confront some of these issues, force Hillary to employ a different demagogy. This is not enough. All of that stuff vanishes like chimeras and dreams at dawn when you get to January 20th, 2017, if it's her, which God forbid, God forbid. Now, then we get to the debate. In the course of the debate, I would say Bernie punted three times. One time was he was invited again on the basis of two more rounds of scandal on the emails and the classified information. One round was the header that was doctored. Okay, that was one round. He missed that one. And now, just in the past couple of weeks, we had this other one about the 22 top secret things that went through Hillary's email. He was then invited to comment on that, and he again refused. He has refused the crown three times. Well, I think Caesar did that. Didn't turn out well. So, that's one, is the emails. The second one, and this is the most amazing. We'll get to the third one. Let's do a different second one. At a certain point, Hillary went into her harridan routine, right? She's self-righteous. She's indignant. She says, you're coming after me with innuendos, and you're coming after me with an artful smear. As soon as she said artful smear, the boos filled the boos, and some booing filled the room. And Bernie could have ridden that. Bernie had the crowd on his side, and he could have gone after her. But when she challenged him, come out and say what you're really saying, he needed to say, Mrs. Clinton, you are a puppet of Wall Street, and you are disqualified as the Democratic Party nominee because the new majority in the Democratic Party is anti-Wall Street, and you represent the dirty, corrupt old order that gave us the legalization of derivatives in 2000, and you gave us interstate banking, and you gave us the abolition of Glass-Steagall and all these other points. So that's why Mrs. Clinton, you are out of the question as a nominee. He can't do that. He's too weak. We've seen in recent days, he seems to be obsessed with the independents, the fussy independents who don't like fighting. They'd rather have genocide than a little acrimony in an election. They'd rather have a dictatorship or a World War III. Independents would rather have that than have a real knock 'em down, drag 'em out fight where you just go in there and do what she challenged you to do. Since you ask me, Mrs. Clinton, here's what I really think. You're bought and paid for by Goldman Sachs. You're corrupt. You're a slave of Wall Street, and on and on. But he couldn't do that. And then we get the Iowa caucuses. Now, let's just set the stage, right? Because things had gone on that day. Here I'm looking at the Des Moines Register. It is the biggest newspaper in Iowa. The Des Moines Register, on the morning of the 4th, in good time for this debate, because Chuck Todd knew about this article and actually cited it. But let's get to the article. The Des Moines Register called for an audit of the Iowa results. It means, in effect, a recount. Bernie should have been in court demanding a recount. Go into court, say, I want the impoundment of these records. I want all of this stuff to be put under lock and key with a bailiff and a judge guarding it. Des Moines Register says the same thing. They want to have an audit of the Iowa results. So here it is, the editorial, the Thursday editorial of the Des Moines Register said, the Iowa Democratic Party has got to prove that the Monday caucus results were not corrupt, but were correct. Entitled, editorial, something smells in the Democratic Party. It reminds me, something rotten in the state of Denmark, right? Bernie's terrestrial paradise. If Bernie doesn't start fighting, he's going to be sent back to Denmark, right? This area that he thinks is such a wonderful social democratic area. And maybe they'll strip his assets. They'll come in and say, you're a refugee from the U.S. and we're going to confiscate your personal net worth, which is the new social democratic tactic there in Denmark. Once again, the world is laughing at Iowa. We'll give you more of this in just a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Webster Darby here in Washington, D.C. So, Bernie, you're going to be sent back to Denmark if you don't fight. Another occasion this week, Washington Post had a report from Bernie's doctor that he is in good health. I would say, no, he's not in good health. He needs an emergency backbone transplant. An emergency backbone transplant for Bernie Sanders is indicated. So his doctor should have reported there seems to be this void where his spinal column should have been, or maybe also an addition, a guts implant, right? Give him some guts so he could fight. And of course, Bernie, you say you're going to lead a political revolution and you're too scared to call for a simple traditional bourgeois recount or the impoundment of the results or an audit, whatever it is. So he's up there. F. Chuck Todd of MSNBC says, Senator Sanders, the biggest newspaper in the state of Iowa, is saying that something stinks in the Democratic Party, a real understatement, that, again, editorial, something smells in the Democratic Party. Once again, the world is laughing at Iowa. What happened Monday night? This is all Des Moines Register direct quote. Quote, what happened Monday night at the Democratic caucuses was a debacle, period. Democracy, particularly at the local party level, can be slow, messy, and obscure. But the refusal to undergo scrutiny or allow for an appeal reeks of autocracy. The Democratic Party must act quickly to assure the accuracy of the caucus results beyond a shadow of doubt. It's the razor-thin victory, the 0.2% or 4 delegates. This is like, that's enough, you know, that's like a van full of people, essentially. This is too close to call not to do a complete audit of results. I go on. Too many accounts have arisen of inconsistent counts, untrained and overwhelmed volunteers, confused voters, cramped precinct locations, a lack of voter registration forms, and other problems. Too many of us, including members of the Register, Des Moines Register editorial board, who were observing the caucuses, saw opportunities for error among Monday night's chaos. Now, in baseball, we would call this the biggest, fattest gopher ball pitch that was ever dished up. Bernie refused to swing. My God, what ineptitude, what cowardice, what bungling. It's unbelievable. I'm still reeling. And I hope his father was could see what was happening. He said, "Oh no, in principle fine, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. What's Iowa after all? It's only 25 votes and we're competing for 2500 votes. So let's get on to the next thing." Now, does he really think that that's acceptable? Again, if you went out and knocked on doors and rang doorbells and called your neighbors and worked in a phone bank, that's hours and hours of your life. And he's willing to throw it away so that he can come on as Mr. Clean, or as I rather say, Little Lord Fauntleroy. Man, I didn't know Little Lord Fauntleroy was just born over the Brooklyn line, but apparently so. Naturally, if you're a democratic socialist, it means that you're a social democrat, and their record is bad. Look at Germany in 1918, 1919, 1920. Very, very bad. Or how they told you to vote for Hindenburg in, 1932, who then brought in Hitler. Their record, quite bad. So, Bernie blew it. He flubbed it. He punted three times, even though she was getting booed. And he rejected these things as issues. Now, we have to dig down a little bit further in this. In particular, the Goldman Sachs, lectures, right? The $600,000 and $700,000 in Goldman Sachs lecture fees. Here we see that Chuck Todd is more aggressive in the service of Bernie than Bernie is in the service of Bernie. In other words, Bernie doesn't probe anything. Forget about the emails, not an issue. Forget about the vote fraud in Iowa, which is so clear. All he had to do is say, "Well, I don't know, that's not my style, but certainly if the biggest newspaper in the state wants to have an audit, then maybe that's a good idea. And I'll tell my campaign lawyers to come in as, you know, amici curiae in on the side of the Des Moines Register, right, and get a lawsuit going, right? So she's going to scream bloody murder, right? She's going to squawk. So what? Politics ain't beanbag, Bernie. It's brutal, especially in late imperialism. We have all these problems. So and then on the Goldman Sachs lecture, so Chuck Todd gets up there and he says, Hillary, you gave these speeches to Goldman Sachs. $700,000. $700,000. And, so will you now, Mrs. Clinton, commit to, a little bit of a contretemps, you see? But now, Mrs. Clinton, will you commit to making public, to publishing, to posting online, either the transcripts or the recordings of your interactions with Goldman Sachs, Big Pharma, and all the rest of it? And she says, "Well, I don't know. I'll look into it." See, Chuck Todd seems to know that these records do exist. Is Bernie interested? Again, he's a very lukewarm person. I would say to Bernie, look, Bernie, if you can't be loyal to the voters, if you can't be loyal to the issues, at least be loyal to yourself, for God's sake already. Be loyal to yourself, Bernie. So, let's see. I actually have here, I was able to secure a rush transcript of one of these actual appearances by Hillary. Let me see if I can find it. I put this on Twitter as soon as I could. So here's the rush transcript. Hillary speaking at Goldman Sachs, and she finishes her speech and she starts the Q&A. Lloyd Blankfein, the boss of Goldman Sachs, says, "Thank you, Mrs. Clinton, for blocking all the reform proposals and keeping our tax scams in order. And now, just to prove that your heart is in the right place, now you jump." And Hillary Rodham Clinton says, "How high, Mr. Blankfein? How high?" That's what we're dealing with. That's what I've been able to reveal with a document dump. So, you get the idea. Now, let's talk about why. I mean, we know Bernie has been feckless and cowardly during the whole thing. But I stress, I'm not trying to run him down. I'm telling people to vote for him. Yeah, let me make that clear. Vote for Bernie. Hold your nose and vote for Bernie. If you're a Republican, get out of that cesspool. Go to the Democratic side and vote for Bernie for the sake of the United States and our future and the future of mankind. And you have a positive moral responsibility to vote for Bernie. It's like a sacrament, right? The sacrament works quite independent of the mental state of the person who's administering the sacrament. So Bernie can help us save the world, even though he's really kind of a wee timorous beastie, we might say. Now, Bernie has got some hacks that he's brought in, and I want to focus on one of them. Tad Devine was the spin doctor that the Bernie campaign sent out on the night of the debate now this week. Now notice, Bernie runs away really fast. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C. So how are you going to lead a revolution if you won't request a recount? Oh, my God. How are you going to tell people, how are you going to face your volunteers when you didn't fight to preserve the fruits of their labor? How can you tell people to go and vote in New Hampshire if you're not, obviously you're not going to fight for that either? The other thing is, the Clinton machine is not limited to vote fraud in Iowa. The Clinton machine can give you vote fraud in New Hampshire. If you want to have some hope of deterring that, you got to scare the people involved. You got to make some pretty apocalyptic, blood-curdling threats. You got to growl, Bernie. You got to say, yeah, we're going to fight vote fraud in Iowa, and we're going to fight vote fraud here in New Hampshire. And if you think you're going to go out there and do vote fraud for Hillary, you better guess again, because we're going to get you in your servers and your phone and all this other stuff. And it's just a disaster. So, Tad Devine. Okay. Now, what do we have with these people? Well, one of his tendencies is that he's always a loser. Gore 2000. No, I'm sorry. Dukakis, 86, a failure. He was on the Dukakis for President campaign. He was on the Gore for President campaign. He was on the Kerry for President campaign, right? Reminds me of Bob Schrum, who's an expert, even though he's never won anything. You have to think Trump, what Trump will say about that stuff. So this guy, Devine, as well as Bernie's actual campaign manager, they were both on MSNBC. And as soon as this question came up of will Bernie fight the vote fraud, they both mocked it. They ridiculed this possibility. Right? Oh, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to be going on to these other states. Look, Bernie supporters, I urge you, if there were any politically attuned individuals with leadership qualities in that cohort of volunteers that Bernie has in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Derry, and Concord, and all those places, Rochester, you guys have got to do something. I appeal to you directly, and I'm doing this with all the goodwill in the world. And it's a stark situation. You've got to get organized, and you've got to go to Bernie and say, look, Bernie, this is wrong what you're doing. This is a loser. And start exerting pressure and put out a manifesto. Now, this is also known. Here's the thing. In the MSNBC broadcast last night, we had Andrea Mitchell coming out with a remarkably frank appraisal Andrea Mitchell of NBC News said, Bernie just does not have that killer instinct, quote, killer instinct, unquote, despite the pressure he's getting from the young people in his campaign and in his base to start attacking Hillary on these points. The emails, the destabilizations, the vote fraud, the money from Wall Street, from Goldman Sachs, and so forth. Andrea Mitchell. Now, today, on the Diane Rehm Show, this is, you know, 2 or 3 million opinion leaders, I flatter myself, since I'm generally in the listening audience. Here we have a debate among the people in the domestic hour from 10 to 11 Eastern that they note that Bernie fails to attack Hillary Clinton on the emails and on the Wall Street money. Part of this is Amy Cook of the Cook Political Report. Trust and honesty issues for Hillary, but Bernie, they say, Diane Rehm Show, Domestic Hour, they say Bernie refuses to do anything about that. And they got very close to saying, is Bernie really fighting to win? I would say, is Bernie really a serious candidate? Is Bernie still finding out what who he is? I think Amy Cook says, Amy from the Cook Political Report, maybe not Cook. Amy says, you know, normally a candidate would attack some of these things, but that's just not who he is. A caller called in saying, we don't trust Hillary because of her hidden corruption. And by the way, where are her achievements? She's always ranting about, she's ranting about two things, that there's a group of bankers that are trying to stop her. Who? Where? What? And then, her achievements, right? She said, I've taken on Wall Street. I've taken on the, what did you do? What was the result? Can we hear a little bit more? Bernie could easily say, hold it right there. You're talking about this again and again. What did you do, for God's sake? So, I'm arguing for a coup d'etat in the Bernie campaign. Kick out those Washington hacks, because those guys are high-priced losers, right? They're the ones who gave you Dukakis and Gore and Kerry. Some of them, I'm sure, gave you Howard Dean. All losers. Why pay? Those are the spin doctors. Right now, this could actually be won. You notice, at the moment, the latest Quinnipiac from yesterday shows Hillary 44, Bernie 42, nationwide, total U.S. results. Bernie could, of course, win in spite of himself. So great is the anger against Wall Street and Wall Street's running dog, Hillary Clinton. We're also told today that only Trump has higher negatives than Hillary. So in other words, among the people the American people don't want, number one is Trump that we don't want, and number two is Hillary that we don't want. So people in the Bernie campaign, don't let yourself be led as lambs to the slaughter by a corrupt character or a bunch of corrupt advisors, beltway hacks, high-priced losers. Get rid of them and run the campaign as a political revolution. He's been ranting for months that it's supposed to be a political revolution. Well, if that's true, run it that way. And don't accept this idea even that Bernie is absolute and autocratic and he can tell you what to do. And make sure that somebody presses home this question of the Goldman Sachs speeches. And even though it's getting late, you could still, over the weekend, set up going to court on Monday to get something going in Iowa. I urge the Iowa people, just go ahead and start this yourself. Don't wait. Don't run that by our social democratic curmudgeon from the land of Ben and Jerry's, right? Because his mind is in Denmark, right? There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. The Des Moines Register says there's something stinking in the Iowa Democratic Party. You got to remember that people there, they've got to cash in once every 4 years and live on that. So, and that goes for these awful advisors too. Now, obviously, Hillary did take some shots, right? Bernie, you know, she essentially refutes herself in terms of the Democratic base, right? All she has to do is show up and start with this complacency and the idea that she should be president and damn you. And if you question anything, she pulls out the woman card. She pulls out the Haridan card, right? She's so indignant about what you're doing. She is a warmonger, a warmonger, a warmonger. We got to do justice to that. Her hostility to Russia and Putin is overwhelming. You should look at that with a shudder. Look at your children and your grandchildren and say, do I want to risk that so that this Haridan can come out and posture against Russia and Putin? And, of course, she hates Iran. She claims, she has claimed at different times, that she has learned the lesson of her wrong, treasonous vote on Iraq in 2002-2003. But then she'll argue, oh, bombing Libya, that was a great thing, a great thing. Later in the program, we'll go through the latest Washington Post expose, where she features as one of the three furies of the war, the attack on Libya. So, Bernie supporters, tonight you have nothing to lose but the defeat staring you in the face. Back in a minute on Crisis Radio. Welcome to the second hour of World Crisis Radio. It's the afternoon of Friday, February 5th, 2016. Webster Tarpley reporting from Washington, D.C. And now we have a special honor and something we always look forward to. We're going to get a report on the situation in Syria from our good friend Thierry Meyssan, who is the founder of the Voltaire Network, that is the Réseau Voltaire of Paris and worldwide, available in many languages. And Thierry, of course, is one of the leading experts on the Middle East in general. He is the only Western correspondent to have been in Syria now for the past 5 years, from the time of the starting of the troubles, right, the beginning of the attack by Saudi Arabia and Turkey and the CIA on the Syrian government. Thierry's been there. He's a feature on Syrian television and, of course, advises the legal government of Syria. Thierry, welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. Now, we want to talk first about everybody's looking at this Geneva negotiating process, and that seems to have broken down for the moment. So maybe we start there.
So first you have to know that contrary to the appearances, the United Nations are not a fair negotiator for peace in Syria. Because since 3 years, the United Nations are the center of the plot against Syria and for the center for all the neocons and the liberal hawks from the U.S. In the Middle East. You have to remember that in June 2012, when it was the first Geneva conference, Hillary Clinton was obliged to sign an agreement with Russia for peace in Syria. And that very day, she named his specialist for Middle East, Jeffrey Feltman, as number two of the United Nations. Jeffrey Feltman was the former ambassador of the United States in Beirut, in Lebanon, and after that he became the director for Middle East in the State Department. Now, so he's number two of the United Nations. In fact, he's the real chief of the United Nations because Ban Ki-moon is only with a protocolar role, but not an executive role. And in 2012, Jeffrey Feltman organized a group of lawyers who wrote a plan for total and unconditional rendition of Syria. he was thinking that the jihadists will overcome Syria and they will defeat the Syrian government, and they will put the Muslim Brotherhood at power. So during 3 years, the United Nations were saying officially they want peace, and in fact, underground, they were supporting the CIA and the group of David Petraeus in the Middle East. At the beginning, they have as a special negotiator Lakhdar Brahimi, and now it is Staffan de Mistura, which is both Swedish and Italian people. So that guy organized the Geneva III conference just last September, I think it was last September, the Russian and the Syrian discovered the plan from Jeffrey Feldman and his team for the reddition of Syria. So they were absolutely astonished, and they asked to Staffan de Mistura some explanation. Of course, Staffan de Mistura was very uncomfortable, and he said to the Syrian government that he was not engaged by this paper from Jeffrey Feldman. And secretly, at that very moment, he named as his deputy at the United Nations a German academic. His name is Volker Perthes. He is the chief of the biggest think tank in Europe now. And that guy was, in fact, the lawyer who wrote for Jeffrey Feldman this plan of total and conditional reddition of Syria in 2012. So from one hand, Staffan de Mistura was saying, don't be upset with that plan, it is, I'm not engaged by that. And from the other hand, he was putting that guy as chief negotiator for the United Nations in Syria. So when they organized this Geneva III conference, they said that Volker Perthes will be responsible to make the bridge between the two camps, between the government and the opposition. You know, they will be in two different rooms, and Volker Perthes must go from one room to the other. So when you know that, of course, it's clear that the United Nations are not fair, and now the United Nations are disagree with everybody, but only the place for the group of David Petraeus to continue his policy in the Middle East, and not only in the Middle East, because they continue also in Ukraine and in other countries.
Jerry, that is so important. That is political dynamite here, because we're in the midst of a presidential campaign, and we've got the first primary election in New Hampshire on Tuesday, and of course Hillary Clinton she's under attack for being a warmonger and for consorting and directing people of the type that you're saying. So this is absolutely critical, and please continue.
Yes. The group of David Petraeus and Hillary Clinton is continuing to organize the war in the Middle East and also in Ukraine, in the Caucasus in general. Yes. And so another point is that for this Geneva conference, and the group for opposition was organized by Saudi Arabia in a big meeting in Riyadh.
Right.
And, of course, they decide only to support the war leaders they are already supporting in Syria. But they put in front of them some former Syrian politicians. So you
right.
can have this appearance of a group with some leaders able to be at power, and in their back, the ship of war. But the reality is that this team for negotiation is totally in the hands of Saudi Arabia with this chief of war. And you know that during the last year, at the beginning, the opposition was like during the war against Iraq. It was composed with intellectuals that the CIA paid to revolt against the government. But now, this is finished. Because of the war...
Jerry, we're at the end of our first segment. We'll bring you back for a second segment, please, if you can. So just hold the thought, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes here. Thank you so much. On World Crisis Radio, back in a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. We are getting some highly relevant information on the activities of Hillary Clinton, among other things, from our good friend Thierry Maison in Damascus, Syria. And this also bears on this high negotiating authority, I guess they call themselves, which has been stocked with some veteran Syrian politicians. And these people are backed up, of course, by Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia now threatening to send troops. So please continue, Thierry. We got another 10 minutes.
Yes. All the real members of this team for the opposition are chief of war paid by Saudi Arabia, and these people were chosen because of their they are from some tribes from the desert in Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. You have some tribes in this part, and you know that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is a very special state. This is the only state in the world which is the personal property of a king. Yes, this is incredible to know, but you know, there is no budget for example, because the budget of a state is the personal budget of a king.
Right.
He's the owner of everything, and in this kingdom is a tribal kingdom, because at the beginning it was created by the United Kingdom using a tribe in this desert to fight against the Ottoman Empire. So when King Abdulaziz, the first king of Saudi Arabia, created this state, he made a big genocide of all the other tribes in Saudi Arabia. And now that in this kingdom, the power is a tribal power. There is no politics. There is no political parties. It is totally forbidden. But there is no politics at all. There is only the tribal links of fidelity from the king to his subjects. And as they are paying now the chief of war in Syria, they are asking them the same kind of relations. So now these people are really tribesmen, and they can't pretend to represent all the Syrian people, which are people from the cities with totally different behavior. So, and you learn that after 3 days of chaotic talks, this Geneva conference was suspended, and it will restart only in 10 days, something like that.
Right.
Why? Because on the ground now, it was a big offensive of the Syrian army and the Russian Air Force against the jihadists. All this offensive is planned since last September. You had first a phase of aerial bombing against jihadists to destroy all their equipment. Because during 5 years, they have built bunkers underground. They have incredible equipment with them. So all these things was first destroyed. Most of them was first destroyed by the Russian Air Force. And now the Syrian army on the ground is going through the jihadists to expel them out of Syria. During the last weeks, the Syrian army was able to control quite all the south of the country. I mean the Jordan border and the Israeli border. And they are now attacking Aleppo, which is the second city in the country. And you know that in Syria, when you have Damascus and Aleppo with you, you have in fact all the country. Right now, the government is in Damascus, and certainly in 2 weeks they will liberate Aleppo. So for the jihadists, this is a big defeat. They will withdraw from all the inhabitant parts of Syria, and they will go to Deir ez-Zor and Raqqa, which are two towns occupied by Daesh now. So it will clarify the things, because all the jihadists will be with Daesh or will be out of Syria. And we can expect, I'm not sure, but there is already an agreement between Russia and the White House. I don't say with the United States, because there is too many powers in the United States now. But
of course,
Russia and the White House to bomb together Daesh from March and to finish with Daesh in Syria. They will continue in Iraq, but to finish with them in Syria. And if the U.S. forces and the Russian forces are working together next month, they will stop also the action of Israel, France, United Kingdom and Turkey in the north of Syria, because all these countries want to create a new state in the northeast of Syria. And when they will create this state, they will expel the Kurds from Turkey to this state. So, as the U.S. and Russia don't want such a fake state in the northeast of Syria, they plan to act like they did in 1956 with the Suez Canal expedition from the French and the British, with the help of Israel and Turkey. Exactly the same situation, but now.
Tremendous. Thank you for the good news.
Yes. And so we can hope that in the next 6 months, the war will be ended here in Syria.
Well, that's excellent. The Washington Post today says that the rebels are clinging. They're just holding on in Aleppo. Thierry, thank you so much. Please come back next week. We need to hear you more often. Okay?
Okay. Goodbye.
Thank you again. See you soon. A tout à l'heure. And we'll be back in a minute on World Crisis Radio. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Webster Tarpley here in Washington, D.C. And I am delighted with that report. And this also shows the crude stupidity of so many libertarians and others here. We're talking about a deal between the Kremlin and the White House to bash the terrorists. It means that every Republican has got egg on his face, every libertarian, every prating commentator, they don't get what's up. So again, the problematic group is France, Britain, Turkey and Israel, they're all lined up to create this artificial state on the Syrian side of the Turkish border. And let me just point out, right, people who are on board with that. Today, Washington Post, Nicholas Burns, former Assistant Secretary of State, Undersecretary. He was the spokes at the State Department. And his sidekick, James Jeffrey, former ambassador to Iraq. Time to take the lead in Syria. Nicholas Burns and James Jeffrey today in the Washington Post. And what do we find? They want to have humanitarian corridors. They want to have a safe zone for terrorists. And they want to have a no-fly zone. And this is exactly that project that we've just heard. So are these guys acting in tandem? Nick Burns and company acting in tandem with that bunch of characters, the Anglo-French, the Israelis, and the Turks. And that Suez reference, right, takes us back to the days when the U.S. Stood for something decent, right, that colonialism was bad. You remember October 1956, the British and the French invaded Egypt to try to seize the Suez Canal. The Israelis joined in, attacking through the Sinai. And the Russians said, this is one of the only nuclear threats the Russians ever issued, was that if you don't watch out, we have nuclear IRBMs, intermediate range ballistic missiles, and we'll use them on London and Paris, so you back down. And then these neo-imperialists or paleo-imperialists turned to the U.S. and said, we want you to go to war for us. And the answer was, George Humphrey, Eisenhower's Secretary of the Treasury, said, you better stop doing what you're doing or we're going to sink your pound and sink your franc. So the U.S. standing up to this group is a wonderful event. And again, as Thierry points out, right, and I think this is one of the things we've tried to teach the world through this broadcast, the U.S. is hopelessly factionalized, right? You've got the Petraeus group. You've got the neocons. Their candidate now, of course, Rubio, will be working on that, right, making people understand that Rubio is the neocon candidate for president, right? He might have, you know, you can imagine Rubio for president, Petraeus for vice president, paid for by Henry Kravis of Kohlberg, Kravis Roberts. So it's the Kremlin, the Putin and the Kremlin with Lavrov, and the White House, icing out the State Department, icing out Ashton Carter, all these fiefdoms, which are essentially in a state of insurrection. That information on Demi Stura is extremely interesting. And Feldman, so we're going to work on, I think it's Feldman, we're going to get to work on him. And this is all highly relevant to the stuff we're saying about Hillary Clinton. You've got to stop Hillary Clinton or you're going to have World War III. And Bernie has got to get up there and say, you are a warmonger, Mrs. Clinton. You're a hawk in a party. The Democratic Party spent the entire period from 2001, 2002, all the way to 2012 or thereabouts on these issues of war and peace. Is it conceivable that we're not going to have a strong anti-war plank? That Hillary, we know, but Bernie is continuing to repeat this backward nonsense about, I want Saudi Arabia to get their hands dirty. I love King Abdullah of Jordan. I like the Emiratis. I like the Qataris and all this stuff. This is simply obscene. It's a monstrosity. Are there any Democrats out there that are not brain dead or morally insane? Can't you please come forward and do something? Now, so we have, oh, and Libya. Now let's look at this. This is a slightly different wheelhouse, okay? But now we're going to have Libya. Let's just, we can do what's going on today. Right now, Libya is a failed state. Right? Anybody will tell you, Libya is a failed state. How'd it get that way? Well, thanks to Hillary Clinton, right? And poor, of course, Obama, who let himself be roughed up. We're now talking about 5 years ago, and we've got some stuff in the papers here, right? In the Washington Post in particular. It starts on the front page of yesterday's Washington Post. Tough call on Libya still looms over Clinton. She defends the U.S. bombing of Libya, but critics hear echoes of Iraq. Do we ever meaning we do. So here we have the decision to bomb Libya and to create this failed state. And I would add, condemning hundreds of thousands, millions of women, children, to the most horrendous sufferings, mutilations, rapes, deaths, kidnappings, slavery, all this stuff. This is Hillary Clinton. Under Gaddafi, I was there. I was there under Gaddafi. Women were westernized, secular, normal, middle class. Some of them dressed in, you know, Western garb, right? No burqas, none of this stuff. And that was under Gaddafi. And that was the highest, the best country in Africa, according to the United Nations Human Development Index. So what we see here is Mrs. Clinton. She gets taken over by Sarkozy of France. And of course, Sarkozy is dancing to the tune of Bernard Henri Lévy, BHL. This character, who's whispering, he's screaming into Sarkozy's ear from Benghazi, you've got to invade, you've got to start bombing. So at the time that this happened, we have Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates, who says no to the bombing of Libya. We have Obama's National Security Director, Thomas E. Donilon, saying no to the bombing of Libya. We also have, in addition to Donilon, William Daley, the Chief of Staff of the Obama White House. So this is the Chicago Dailies, right, a regional political power. The Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Michael Mullen, says no to the bombing of Libya. Dennis McDonough, the Deputy National Security Advisor, also no. Homeland Security Advisor John Brennan, no. So who's in favor? The Furies. It starts with Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, and Samantha Power. But they're losing. They're not going to carry the day. And instead, Hillary Clinton comes in and throws her weight decisively in the pantsuit on the side of aggression, adventurism, failed states, the destruction of civilization. This woman is intolerable. She must not, who said, don't get 15 miles from the White House, except Christie, he won't do it. But we demand it. We don't want her deciding over our fate. Keep Hillary's hand away from the nuclear button. She is too weak. She believes that if she's not the biggest hawk in the room, she's going to be mocked and ridiculed and scorned as a weak woman. And her only way to show that she's not weak is war. Why not show strength through peace? But that's not in her book. Back in a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio, wrapping up our program for the 5th of February, which will be broadcast then on February 6th, God willing. And we're here in Washington. We're still pondering that excellent report from Thierry Meyssan that there's a deal between the Kremlin and the White House, not these other agencies, to do something to make the life of ISIS extremely nasty, brutish, and short. We're warned also against the De Mistura operation at the UN under the aegis of Jeffrey Feltman, a creature of Hillary. So you want to do something for peace in Syria, bash Hillary at the polls, vote against her, vote her down. The Paltaw dynasty has gone down. Goodbye, little nepotist Rand Paul. Hope you don't win your Senate race either, because you didn't worry about Kentucky. And then Jeb Bush is about to disappear from the scene, that hated political dynasty. And both of these mean a lot. I guess the one, in my case, going back to 1992 in my Bush biography, that effort is now being crowned by success. But now, in addition, this Clinton dynasty, the ones who brought you derivatives, the ones who abolished aid to families with dependent children, a huge attack on women and children, really vile, but Bill Clinton did it, the worst thing he did. Now, Hillary Clinton obviously believes what Romney said, that Russia is the number one geopolitical threat to the United States. It's absolutely insane. It's bunk. It's a paranoid hallucination, which she peddles, right? Again, because she can't be, she's got to be the biggest warmonger in the room. And that's what weakness means. I've been telling you this for years. She is the essence of weakness. So remember also, you know, in terms of dupes abroad or innocents abroad, when Hillary Clinton goes into Sarkozy and he says, we got to bomb Libya, did he tell her about that secret British-French treaty from the fall of 2010, which said they were going to attack a large oil-producing country in North Africa, i.e. Libya, and that was called Operation Armaton, that wind of the Mediterranean, and then Mermaid Dawn, right? Operation Sirene, Mermaid Dawn. That was the airlift and boat lift of jihadi terrorists to attack Tripoli, right? To come in right through the port. So remember, on the Syrian side, we've just had the fall of the strategic town of Sheikh Miskin, M-I-S-K-E-E-N. This is in the context of Russian appreciation that this intervention is going well. Time to put the United States back on the side of civilization and rip the political levers out of the hands of these bankrupt, morally insane characters. We're told now that Hillary was concerned. She said, oh, in Libya, I got to do my bombing intervention in the right way. I don't want it to be like Srebrenica, where it was too little too late. I don't want to be like Iraq, where it was too much. But I want to make it just right. And the way to make it just right is stay the hell out of the internal affairs of sovereign states. Hillary Clinton is an incurable hawk. So on the Libyan intervention 5 years ago, we had Alecto, the three furies, the Arinis, Alecto, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Megara, I suppose we might as well make that Susan Rice, and Tisiphone, of course, the charming Mrs. Cass Sunstein, otherwise known as Sam or Samantha Power. Now, I would like nothing better than to talk more about what the Bernie people need to do. It's going to come down to this weekend. You know that famous theory of history, right, that history actually has irrevocable turning points. And if you don't get it right, right, if you don't strike within the time frame you have, I mean, it said about Lincoln, right? If Lincoln had introduced and signed and promulgated the Emancipation Proclamation as an executive order, if he had done that 6 months earlier, say before Antietam, it might have led to a backlash and terrible consequences and maybe the loss of the Civil War for the United States. And if he had waited 6 months into the spring or the summer of 1863 into 1864, then the actual aid coming from the black volunteers for the United States Army and the subtraction of slave labor that the Confederacy had then to endure, that might have led to the collapse of the Union. So you've got to do it within the historical time frame, the window of history that you have. And this, of course, is the theory of the punctum saliens, right? The decisive point, right? The point that stands out, that is salient, right? That is decisive. And Bernie has practically blown it on the Iowa vote fraud. The only hope on that is that other forces, right, some friend of Bernie's or some friend of the cause, you know, somebody who has standing, not only Bernie has standing, other people, right, people who voted and didn't get their vote or caucused and didn't get their voice heard, they would have standing. Why don't they go into court in Iowa and get in some kind of a filing and a showing and start to turn the screws? And again, you may think that Iowa is lost. It may be, but the deterrent effect on the vote fraud people in New Hampshire is now, by now, what looms perhaps a little bit larger. So, you people who have put Bernie where he is, in other words, it's not his pretty face, not his charisma, not his leadership. He was entering a political void. He did have some pretty obvious themes to talk about. He's been extremely disappointing on the actual details, right? We have the, the TPP was signed today. 12 nations in New Zealand have come together for the TPP. So this is a monstrosity. This has to be defeated. But Bernie talks against it, but there's no bite. Where's the beef? Where's the program? Where are the measures? What do you advocate? As your president, I would say, or as a real president, I would say, as your president, I will fight for a 15% protective tariff on all imports coming into the United States. I will not be bound by the existing free trade sellouts. Not NAFTA, not CAFTA, not WTO, not TPP, not the one with Europe. I don't want any of those. That has gone entirely too far. That is solidifying oligarchical control beyond the reach of the American people and somehow above the level of the U.S. Constitution. And I'm calling for a 15% protective tariff for the United States. No longer will job exportation, the runaway shop, the overseas sweatshop, no longer will they be allowed to undercut the standard of living of Americans, and we urge everybody to follow. In other words, a stable situation based on protectionism. Not protectionism as some kind of hydrogen bomb, the way stupid Trump sees it, but as an orderly feature of the regulation of international trade and commerce in the same way that the New Deal in America provided regulation of stock markets and economic activities. And, of course, the Bretton Woods system, 1944 to 1971, provided the regulation of international currency affairs. So an orderly, stable, well-managed system through the restoration of fixed parities at some early point and through the imposition of a protective tariff. The vote's back next week. And if you're in New Hampshire, vote your nose and vote for Bernie. And stop Trump. Stop Trump. Back next week.